It's time now for Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's bright and shiny outside, and it certainly is gorgeous weather now. I have to tell you, I was out playing golf yesterday, although I shouldn't really call it playing golf. It's more like whacking at the ball. And I was thinking about that commercial. Have you seen that commercial where the dog is out on the golf course and the guy doesn't see him, and every time he hits a bad shot, the dog goes, gets the ball, and puts it out in the fairway? And I was like, I need that dog. Well, I don't have that dog this morning, but I do have a dog trainer with us. So maybe she could train one of my dogs to do that. Actually, one of my dogs, Bailey Bear, my big Newfoundland girl, she really wanted to come with me this morning. And I thought that's because I told her that Marta was going to be on the radio with me today. And Marta is her teacher. And she was all excited about that. So let me tell you a little bit about Marta Corsi. She's the founder of My Canine Buddy, creating bonds that last a lifetime. She's a dog trainer extraordinaire. She has a family-oriented training center located in Westminster, Maryland, and her goal is to transform your diamond-in-the-rough puppy into your best buddy. From puppy manners to canine good citizen training and beyond, Marta does classes and in-home private training, so she is a wealth of knowledge with us this morning. So let's welcome Marta. Hi, Marta.
Hi.
Wonderful. So I'm guessing you've just been a dog lover for many, many years.
My entire life. I haven't had dogs my entire life, but I have been a dog lover.
Oh, so you were one of those that, when you were little, wanted a dog.
Exactly.
Oh, so did you have one of those mothers that gave you that, well, when you have your own house...
The mother and father.
Oh, that's worse. Okay. So they were stacked against you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And because of that, now I have three. My sister has three, and my brother has 10.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Larry, I hope you're listening. Did you hear that? 10.
Newfoundland.
Oh, my gosh. He has 10 Newfoundlands. Yes. Does he breed?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, did you hear that, Larry? Because my husband is always going, how many people are as crazy as us with five big dogs? Because we have the three golden retrievers, Bailey's who are in Newfoundland, and we have a Great Pyrenees as well. So I just want him to know that there's other people out there.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So Marta, tell me how this got started with you and that you got... First, I'm sure that you got dogs, and then you got interested in how to train them and make them work better with the family.
Right. I, like many people, I got a dog that was not so easy to deal with. So because of who I am, I read a lot of books and I talked to a lot of people, went to a behaviorist, and because of that, I became very interested in behavior and what we can do to change dogs' behavior.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You know, it's always how that works. It's the same thing with me with my animal communication. It all started with my one Great Pyrenees who was really having difficulty, and we found out when we talked to somebody else that really worked. It's funny how things happen. I always think that's how Spirit and God works with us.
Absolutely.
You know, they put those challenges to us so that we are searching for answers.
Right.
And wonderful. So now tell me how this worked with your dog that you started out with.
As I said, I read a lot of books. She had a fear aggression issue.
Okay.
And I ended up going to behaviors and learning a lot about changing fear into less fear, shall we say.
Right. Acceptable management.
Right. Managing that behavior. She did become a good member of the family. An unfortunate incident ended her life early. But... I learned a lot. I've learned a lot from every dog I have, some more than others.
Yeah. Well, that was her gift to you. So.
Correct.
And, you know, this fear aggression, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, we have so much to talk about, but that's very common in dogs, isn't it?
Very common. They have no other way to express their fear other than through barking and perhaps lunging that helps them feel more in control of the situation to try to get rid
right,
of
like they're
whatever
doing
it is
something
that's scaring
and they
them.
Don't know what else to do.
Exactly.
And it's really hard, I think, for people to recognize that this behavior is fear.
Absolutely.
All right.
Most people think it has to do with dominance or just a bad dog, and that's not necessarily the case.
Okay. I think that's important that we brought that out, because that's one of those things that when you say to somebody, well, I'm thinking there's a fear issue here, they're looking at you like you're crazy. Like, this dog doesn't have a fear issue. They're like going after everybody else.
Right. Right. But you can tell a lot from body language with a dog.
Okay.
Again, they have no real way to express things to us other than through their body language and their barking. So you can tell a lot from the body language of the dog around whatever it is that they're fearful of.
Okay. Well, give us just a couple, like, clues on, like, if somebody had a dog at home that they're trying to look at. I mean, I know you really need somebody who knows what they're doing, but
Some
obvious things that might point to them that they should really look at this with a different perspective and get some help.
Right. If the dog starts lunging and barking and then goes and hides behind you or hides behind a chair, obvious fear. Those types of things, or the whole body language that it's sort of brace to run away as opposed to running forward or toward whatever it is that they're worried about.
Okay, that real stiffness thing.
Right.
Is there something with the ears? I remember reading something about ears.
The ears are generally flat to the head, but that can also just be with general
lots of things.
Arousal, right.
So there's a lot of signs that, you know, and they can be misinterpreted, but just to give some people an idea that, you know, think about if you're having issues with your dog at home, you know, it might not be what you originally thought.
Right. Right.
You know, so we have to open our minds a little bit too. So, and that's one of the things that you do, Marta. You will actually, I mean, I know you did that with us. Marta worked with our dog, Bailey, who, you know, I told her she had snarly issues. That was my technical term for her. She was snarly. And but, you know, and we had some real concern because a Newfoundland is a huge and powerful dog. I also call her my little rhinoceros. So, I mean, you know, you just don't want to get anything started with that. And we were very concerned because we've had things over the years and we have a big dog family. So we did have Marta come out and sort of have a chance to assess Bailey in her own environment, which I think was really important for us because Marta could see her interaction with her sisters and just, you know, our home environment and what it was like. And, you know, so I think that's really important, Marta. And you do that for a lot of people, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Do in-home visits. There are some things that I don't really need to see the environment for. In this circumstance, it was very important to see that interaction in the environment.
Yeah, and because we had five.
It's hard to tote them all in.
Yeah, it would be hard to tote them all in for you to see how they reacted. But, you know, and I think that's another thing with animals. You know, if you have one animal and you have issues, it's different than when you have, you know, well, I'm going to call it a pack. You know, I have five.
Absolutely.
That's a pack.
Absolutely. The pack interactions are very interesting and they change too. The dynamics change. The one that we think is in charge may not really always be in charge. So you do have to watch all that. Generally, I say to people, especially when you have a pack, that you're the one that's in charge.
Yes.
None of them are.
Yeah.
They just need to know that.
Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Anyway, I liked what you also just said there, that who's in charge can change. You know, because that's a concept that I really learned recently, I have to tell you, because I always thought once there was an alpha, there's an alpha. And that is an alpha no matter what's going on. You know, and you know, I knew it would maybe change, you know, like if somebody died or something in the pack. But I have since learned that, you know, you could be an alpha maybe when it comes to food, but when it comes to walks, you're not the alpha.
Right.
Is that true? That's right. True, right?
Absolutely. It's situational. My one that I would call the bottom of the pack, the bottom of the heap, every once in a while she'll say, no, this is my toy. And the other ones back off. They respect that, even though they could take it away in a second.
But yeah.
Just depends on the situation.
Yeah, but they do claim. And that is interesting. So I hope people take that to heart because that was really a new concept for me. And I have seen a tremendous change in my group, you know, now that I've recognized that. And I'm not always, you know, expecting them to do the same things
right.
within the group, you know, for different things. And I know that just from, like, on our walks. Like, Sunny, our one golden retriever, is always the leader, you know. And then other times, you know, Bailey's the leader.
Right.
So it's very interesting. So it's you learn new things all the time.
Absolutely. You need to keep your mind open to that.
Yeah, and you
do.
And
not just always think it's all about dominance or it's all about alpha or it's sometimes they're just dogs.
Yeah, and that's true too, Marta. I'm glad that you said that because a lot of times, you know, we treat them like little people. And
which is very unfair.
It is unfair because as a species, you know, they are very vibrant on their own and they have their own thoughts, their own way of handling things, just like humans do.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to let them be dogs too.
Right. We're trying to teach them to live in our world.
Right.
But they're still dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good thing for us to know too, because I mean, I've known so many people, you know, dressing them up like little dolls and stuff. And, you know, and I am rolling my eyes. Now, I will say, I know that there are some dogs, believe it or not, that like that. They really like that.
I believe you're right, because they do seem to enjoy the attention that
yeah.
they get.
Yeah, you know, but I can tell you right now, if I tried to put a little dress on my golden retriever, Sunny, oh my goodness.
It would get eaten pretty quickly.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, she'd be looking at me like, what is this? So it's very different, but I think the open-mindedness is really key, Martin. You said that. Like, we have to stay open. You know, a lot of us grew up with training techniques we learned when we were children, watching how other people or our parents trained a dog because they were doing what was being taught to them at that time.
Right.
You know, and have learned that those aren't necessarily the best thing. I know some of these, you know, how to keep a dog from jumping techniques that were around when I was younger, you know, were, you know, pretty brutal.
Right. And the family-friendly portion of my training, the way that I train allows even small children, 3 and 4 and 5 years old, to relate to the dog themselves rather than having them their parents interfere. And this helps with their relationship with the dog as well. Those more brutal, shall we say?
Yeah, yeah.
training techniques, a small child can't do that. How are they supposed to relate to the dog?
Right.
In addition, do you want your children to see you doing that?
Yes.
To a member of the family?
Right, right. What does that tell them?
What does that tell them? I started many years ago in training dogs, and it was a bull mastiff that I had. So
yeah,
he was
that's
big
a
and
huge.
Powerful, right? And it was back in the days where you forced them to do everything. At the time, I weighed about what he did, and there was no way that I could force him to do stuff.
Yeah.
Put a prong collar on him, and he said, I'm not moving. Well, he weighed 130 pounds. How could I make him move?
Yeah.
And then I discovered if I said to him, if you walk with me nicely, this is what you get. And he said, food. I'm there. And that's what changed me from one form of training to the other, that I could really communicate with him.
Okay. All right. So, Gil, were you ready?
Wait, yeah.
Okay,
that's fine.
Ready to take a break now?
We
All
can
right.
do that.
All right. Well, we'll take it now. We're almost at 9:30, and we'll be right back with more with Marta.
Okay, you're listening to Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services. We'll be back after this. Time now for more Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, we're back with Marta Kersey, the founder of My Canine Buddy, creating bonds that last a lifetime, a wonderful dog training business in the area. And we're talking about dogs and assessing dogs and training dogs. And we were just talking about her method of training and how it is so family friendly that even small children are able to learn how to train a dog and build that relationship.
That's right.
And I love that, Marta, because, you know, a lot of times in a family, it turns out that, you know, the parents think that they have to train the dog. And then, you know, the kids don't know what's going on or they don't know how to, you know, work with the dog themselves.
Right.
And the dog then doesn't learn that respect with the little ones.
Right.
you know, and they don't learn that interaction.
Right. And it is important that every member of the family have a relationship with the dog, or a correct relationship with the dog, shall we say. Otherwise, you have the parents that can control the dog and the kids just run wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it also teaches children responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it gives them a sense of confidence, too, that they can get this other living creature to do what they want in a very positive way.
Oh, yeah, because I'll tell you, with our Great Pyrenees, who stands as tall as 2-year-olds, I mean, I've had little 2-year-olds come up and just wrap their arms around her neck, you know, as like a pony. And, you know, they just love these dogs.
Right.
You know, and so it would be so wonderful, you know, to know that that little girl could also tell this dog to come or lay down and be able to have that control if they needed it.
Exactly. It also gives the dog a better idea of their place in the family, and I don't mean subservient,
right,
but just that everybody has a relationship.
Right. Everybody has a role.
Everybody has a role.
And everybody works together in a certain way.
Right. Very consistently.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So I know when I had you come out and work with us with Bailey, I remember saying to you on the phone, which, and I believe this, I said to Marta, well, I'm thinking what you're really going to have to do is train the mommy.
And it is very much training the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much a part of dog training, is training the people to help them understand how they can communicate with the dog. Again, these are not people. They don't understand when we talk to them until we teach them what our words mean.
Yeah. Well, now I will take a little exception with that.
Sorry.
As an animal communicator, I do think they know more than we. Yeah. They know, because when we talk to them verbally, we are sending them telepathy, because every time that we speak, we're sending pictures. And they pick up on a lot of that, but they don't always know what to do with it.
And that may be the case.
Yeah.
I have plenty of people that come to me with little puppies. They don't understand no. They don't understand come.
Right.
How can they understand the words that we're speaking?
Right. They have to be shown.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, they can't understand, but they still, just like young children, you have to understand what the word means first.
Absolutely.
Before you can respond to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We expect so much of our dogs and so little of our children.
Yeah.
You know, how long does it take a child to learn to tie their shoe? But you expect a dog to know how to sit and stay within the first few weeks of their life.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, Marta, because it's true. It's like we think that you can tell them a couple times and you're done.
Right. Or for a puppy, it's okay for the puppy to have run of the house and they're expected not to get into anything or make any messes. But yet we put that little one in the pack and play until they're 2 and 3 years old, because they might get hurt. But
yeah.
It's okay for the puppy.
That's interesting, Marta. That's interesting. But people don't think about it that way.
They expect dogs to come out as Lassie.
Yeah, yeah.
Every dog is Lassie.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know Lassie was a very, very highly trained dog.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen that way. So that is interesting. So something you said there I wanted to come back to, and now it just slipped right out of my head. But let's talk a little bit about your classes, because you do classes as well as in-home training and private training as well, right, Marta?
Correct. All my classes are in Westminster, which is really not very far from Hanover. It's only about 20 minutes.
And that's a wonderful facility. I mean, I was surprised when I got there, because I was expecting outside, but it's indoors in this big...
Indoors, matted.
Yeah, it's this whole soft matting.
Mm-hmm. And we have a small area that we do the private... or the group classes for manners, which is what I call basic obedience. And then the larger side we use for things that take more room, agility training, rally obedience, those kinds of things. So it's a great place to come and bring your dog. for the group classes, though, I have ongoing classes, so you can start anytime. You just have to come to orientation first. So it's not like you have to wait until another class starts. If you're ready to train...
Oh, that's wonderful. Because, you know, that is not the case with a lot of trainers,
right,
Marta. I love how you do that.
Right. So Val, who is my assistant, and mm-hmm. we just help you train your dog where you and your dog are. So this dog right here might be doing a sit stay and count to 10. The dog mm-hmm. next to them might be doing a sit stay where the person walks away. So it just depends where you are in your training, and that's what we work with you on.
I love that. That's very customized, Marta. That's
absolutely
really quite valuable.
Absolutely. The other nice thing about the way that we train is that there are three levels, and once your dog masters the behaviors for level one, you move right to level two. You don't have to wait the 6 weeks to start another class.
Right.
You can just move between classes. And we have lots of people who have trained their dog to some extent but wanted to get them out around distractions and mm-hmm. maybe go to a higher level. And they're in level one a couple weeks and go right to level two. And some end up in level three before they're done their 6 weeks.
Oh, interesting. So you move at your own progression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tailored to that individual dog.
I
like your setup, Marta. I like how you have structured that because, like you said, you're not taking a lot of time in between things or waiting for something.
Exactly. And you are moving at your rate. Some dogs move just like people.
Yes.
Some dogs move faster than others. The other nice thing is that for the cost of tuition, shall mm-hmm. we say, you can come twice a week to class. So we have puppy classes as well. So in puppy class, we talk very much about puppy kinds of things. And then in addition to that, they can come another night of the week. So the puppy gets additional socialization with different people, different dogs, etc.
Oh, and that is so valuable. So let's talk about that socialization, because I think that's really key to a lot of things with dogs.
Absolutely. People don't really understand what socialization is for the most part. They think, you know, I'm going to take the puppy to a dog park, or I'm going to let all my friends come over and play.
Right.
This goes back to what we were talking about with fear. During a puppy's youngest weeks, even though it's an important thing to get them out and see everything they can see, it's also generally a fear period in there. So you have to be very, very careful with their interactions with people and places, etc. So socialization is not just taking them everywhere and plopping them in the middle. You've got to make sure that the experience that they're having is a positive one.
Right.
Because this is what's going to color the rest of their life.
So it doesn't become scarier.
Exactly.
Now, aren't there certain, like a certain weak point, like where they really start to hit like a major fear?
It varies between
That's
dogs.
True. Yeah, thank you for saying
and,
that.
But usually between like 8 and 12, 15 weeks.
Okay.
And then there's another one right around a year.
Yes,
some
I thought that
earlier,
too.
Some later, and then even after two, sometimes dogs go through another fear period. So if you had a very confident dog and then all of a sudden they're afraid of everything, they're probably going through a fear period, and you just have to work through it.
That's good. I'm glad that you brought that up because people think that, you know, they've never seen that behavior with their dog. Well, they're never afraid. Like, what's going on?
Right.
And so to understand that there's going to be different times in their lifetime where things come up that all of a sudden they're going through like this little period and it's could be temporary, and as long as nothing goes wrong
right.
during that time, as long as things are sort of, you know,
right.
positively, you know, structured.
Right. And that goes back to the whole socialization thing. It is important to get puppies out around different people, different ages of people, people that look different, and places, different places. I'm not a big fan of letting puppies play with every other dog because you want them all to be positive, all the experiences
right.
to be positive. If you know that other dog is going to play nicely
yes.
as opposed to pound on them,
yeah.
that's fine. But you got to be really careful with puppies. The important thing to remember that socialization doesn't just happen when they're puppies. It should happen their entire life.
Oh, good point.
People come with their puppies, and they come for 6 weeks, and they say, I'm done. And I like to try to emphasize to them, you're not done. Even if you don't want to come to class anymore, you have to maintain the same structure that you've had, and you need to get them out and about around people and other dogs. They don't have to play. They just have to see them so that they realize it's not scary.
Right. It's not unusual. It's not scary. I know that's one of the problems that we have at our place because we have all this land. It's fenced in and we're thinking, oh, this is, I know, it's wonderful. But it's like almost too wonderful. And so we end up not taking our dogs out a lot.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, for Bailey to come to your training facility was like a big thing for her.
She does seem to enjoy coming now.
Yeah, she did. She did. But anyway, but it was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, and then I have to say I was a little worried because, and so I'm going to say this, probably you'll have other people that too. When you come to a training class, you know, the mommy gets a little worried too because I wasn't sure how she was going to react. And like I said, she had some snarly stuff, so I was not sure how she would be with new dogs. Although we've had a couple new dogs come to our house and she's always been good. And so, you know, we started out with some private, just to get her used to just being out in a different environment. I mean, just coming up the stairs
right.
was a whole new thing for
right.
her. Because we're in a rancher, and I was like, oh my gosh, she has to go up 10 steps. And, you know, it's funny, I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, we're just going up the steps. We have to go up to the door. And she just went boop, 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 right up the steps.
And she was fine.
Yeah, she was fine. So remember that, parents out there. That's what I said to Marta, is train the mommy. But it's also, they pick up on our fear.
Absolutely.
You know, so when we're talking about socialization, if you're trying to work with your dog with socialization and another dog comes up and you immediately go, oh my God.
Right. That will definitely go right down the leash into your dog and they'll be worried as well.
Right. So they're thinking, what's going on that mommy's upset?
Right.
And then they're on alert.
Absolutely. And that's when you start to get that fear.
Yeah.
And perhaps the barking. And then the person even further overreacts. So
yeah.
A vicious cycle there.
Yeah, it is a vicious cycle there. But it is interesting. But it's all those little things to think about because they are important.
Right.
You know, they are important and we just don't think about it. So, all right, well, there's so much there. You know, Marty, we'll have to have you come back and talk more about some of this stuff with some of the classes. We didn't even get into the canine good citizen stuff that you do and some of the other assessment and stuff. But I will have to tell you, I love your style of training. It's very, very positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about everybody being successful, the owner and the dog.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you, when Bailey and I come home from class with you, she's like strutting around, you know, and mommy's strutting around. I was like, and I'm always saying, you should have seen Bailey.
Right. A great feeling of accomplishment for both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I said, it makes it so fun for us. And it's so fun for me to see her try some new things and be excited about it.
Right. And be successful.
Yeah, and be successful. And
right.
I love that. So we always make sure, and you do a wonderful job with that with them. So we are going to keep doing it. And it has been so good for her because she was a dog that just needed to use her brain a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pursue agility. We didn't even get into what agility is and rally training. So we might have to do this another time down the road to let people know there's lots of fun things out there for dogs to do.
Absolutely. There are so many things you can do with your dog. And just enjoy the
being
that
yeah.
they are.
Yeah, just being together and doing
right.
something. It's not just throwing a ball.
Right. Throwing a frisbee, taking a walk.
Although that's good, too.
Absolutely.
That's good, too. And the more that you are able to spend time with your animals, the better.
Absolutely. Build that bond.
Yeah, because everybody's so busy.
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy. And mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, they're the short end of the stick.
Right.
You know, we have things to do. The kids have things to do.
Right.
A lot of us are taking care of parents, you know. So, you know, we're all in that age bracket where there's just like a zillion things going on. And sometimes, you know, they're sort of left out.
Yep.
So to have them trained well enough that you can take them with you and do more things.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. What a benefit.
Exactly. And we do a lot of things with therapy dogs who do visit in nursing homes and you know, if you can train your dog to that level and you do need to go visit your parents, take your dog with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now, Marta, tell everybody how they can find you if they want to look into some training.
You can call at 717-476-2449 or visit my website at www.mycaninebuddy.net or you can email me at Marta, M-A-R-T-A, at mycaninebuddy.net.
Okay, and I'm going to tell everybody that's my K as in the letter K and the number 9.
Correct.
So it's my K9 buddy.
.net.
.net. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thanks, Marta, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Heart to Heart is brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. You're listening to Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, we're back, and that was just so fun talking with Marta. There's so much more we want to talk about: agility, rally training, therapy dogs. So, everybody, we're definitely going to have her come back and talk more to us about dogs and dog training. Okay, so next week, I have another interesting guest. It's a little off topic for me, and I'm going to have Denise Hart from Pilates of York here. So Denise does a lot of rehabilitative work. She has Pilates, if you don't know about it, is sort of like an exercise, really rehabilitative routine that a lot of people just use for exercise. But she is so well versed in knowledge of the body. In fact, she's an instructor at York College. She has a BS in exercise science and health and phys ed. So we're going to be talking about the human spirit next week and how we can make ourselves feel better and work better. So tune in next week for Denise. And in the meantime, if you need to see me, give me a call at 717-968-5289. See you next week, everyone.